Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown. Today is Tuesday, the 22nd of April, 2014. You are safe here. No harm will come to you in this space. My goal each and every week is to bring more love into your life, more happiness, more joy, compassion, peace, and abundance, and today, hopefully, patience. I'm assuming that the only people who are listening to this are those of us who are impatient. Patient people don't need to hear this message, do they? That's why I'm doing it. Shannon told me, an Aries doing something on patience. I said, well, that's why I'm doing it. Anyway, each week I ask you to listen to the show with taking one thing out of the show and implementing into your daily life. And as always, I ask that question at the end of the show. So the opening quote today, a waiting person is a patient person. The word patience means the willingness to stay where we are and live the situation out to the full in the belief that there is something hidden there that will manifest itself to us. And that's by Henry Nguyen. I got a couple opening jokes, whatever you want to call them. An exhausted clerk pulled down blanket after blanket from the shelf, but the woman customer was not satisfied. There is still one more blanket left, the clerk said to the lady. Would you care to see it? The woman says, no, I'm not going to buy one today. I have only been looking for a friend. Well, said the clerk, I'll take down the last one if you think your friend might be in it. The next one is a supervisor, a manager, and a director walking to lunch when they find an antique oil lamp. They rub it, and needless to say, a genie comes out. The genie says, I'll give each of you just one wish. Me first, said the supervisor. I want to be in the Bahamas driving a speedboat without a care in the world. Poof, he's gone. Me next, says the manager. I want to be in Hawaii, relaxing on the beach with my personal masseuse, an endless supply of pina coladas, and the love of my life. Poof! He's gone. Okay, you're up, the genie says to the director. The director says, I want those two back in the office after lunch. The moral of the story, always let your boss go first. Now here's one on patience. And as I go through this one, I want you to put yourself in this teacher's position and see how patient you are. Did you hear about the teacher who was helping one of our kindergarten students put his boots on? Well, he asked for help and she could see why. With her pulling and him pushing, the boots still didn't want to go on. By the time she got the second boot on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, Teacher, they're on the wrong feet. She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as they worked together to get the boots back on, and this time they were on the correct feet. Then he announced, These aren't my boots. How are you doing with your patience? She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, Why didn't you say so? Like she wanted to. Once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off. He then said, They're my brother's boots. How are you doing with your patience right now? My mom made me wear them. She didn't know if she should laugh or cry. She mustered up the grace to wrestle the boots back on his feet again. She said, Now, where are your mittens? He said, I stuffed them in the toes of my boots. You ever had one of those days? Well, before I get started, what I want to do is just share with you, I send out an email for each program, and if you want to get on that list, just send me an email to jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. But I wanted to just kind of go over what I wrote as the promo, if you will. I don't know what it's called. How would you like it? How would your life be if you were patient with yourself, with the people you love, the people you interact with on a daily basis, and those people who you only have one encounter with in your whole life? So today we're going to look at the obstacles we place in the way of being patient. There are no victims here. There's just people who choose to be impatient. And I don't know how many times when we've had these shows that I've used the word choose. We choose to be impatient. If we say, you make me impatient, then we're a victim. Then we'll look at what attitudes you can cultivate that will bring patience into your life. Now, my job is to do everything in my power to give you all the tools that you need to be patient. Now, this is an aside here. Don't expect that, I got the tools, bing, I'm going to be patient. My whole life, 57 years, I haven't been patient, whatever the number is. And tomorrow, I'll be patient. It's a process. You got to cut yourself slack. Like everything else, life is a process. So you're going to move from a level of impatience toward a level of being more patient. My question to you is, if I give you all these tools, will you accept this gift and see how much more fulfilling your life will be when you're patient? Patience partner is peace. In my opinion, you can't have patience without being in peace, and you can't be in peace without having patience. So I want to say, feel free to share this gift of patience with others in your life that want patience. You might even decide to have a discussion group on how you guys can help guys and ladies, how you can help each other be more patient. I'm assuming that the only people who are here listening to this are those of us who aren't as patient as we want to be. Those of you who are, well, you'll never hear these words because you'll say, I don't need that. So some of the obstacles that we put in our way to having patience. I think one of the key ones is expectations. We have expectations for how our life is supposed to go every day. And to the extent that they meet it, we're cool. To the extent they don't, we get upset. Well, we shouldn't have a traffic jam. We shouldn't have rain on vacation. We shouldn't, the kids shouldn't be late. And you can go on and on and on. Each one of us has our list of the different things that make us or cause us to be impatient. So obviously the challenge then is, if we're talking about how do I become more patient, then I got to start looking at what my expectations are that causes me to be impatient in any given situation. And as always, we got to find another way to look at it. That's constantly our challenge, because the way we're looking at it isn't working for us. And I think one of the most favorite quotes I have, and I'll share it again later on, is Dr. Phil. How is that working for you? Well, if we're impatient, if we get frustrated, if we get upset, if we get angry, how does it serve us? So if it's not serving us, then if we're not doing anything about it, then we're the victim. But now we got to decide, hey, I got to choose something that's going to help me become more patient with my life. Now the next thing is what I refer to as life according to me. And I may have mentioned before, I have a chapter in a book with Jack Canfield, and that's basically my chapter, life according to me. And my belief is every single one of us has a way that life is going to work for me. But we don't tell the other people. We talked earlier here a minute ago about, the people who live in your home with you, the people you work with, the people you socialize with, your family, your friends, people you meet once cross your path once. And we all have an expectation for how they're supposed to dress, how they're supposed to behave, how they're supposed to speak. And if that doesn't work, we're impatient. How many times, I know I do, I'll call for something. It doesn't make any difference what it is. And needless to say, I get an automated message. I jump up and down with joy. If somebody answers the phone, I said, "Are you real?" And I've even had times where I'm yelling at an automated message because you go from this to this to this to this. Well, that's the way it is. And I got to change the way I look at it because I don't have to like it. It's not going to change. On my desk here, I have the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change. I can't change the fact that there's going to be automated messages. And that's the world that we live in. So I have to learn how to deal with it. I can't change the fact that just about everybody has these iPhones, and no matter where they're going, they're using them. I met somebody in Starbucks, and she said they teach her grandchildren, if it's a sidewalk, if it's cement, if it's grass, it's dirt, you can walk on it. If it's asphalt, that's where cars are. And it amazes me how many people are walking in parking lots on asphalt, and they're texting. But I can't change that, can I? So now, anybody who wants to get in the chat room and give me suggestions for how to do this stuff, because I need to find another way to look at it, I'm more than open to. Or if we want to call in, you've got that information right in front of you. That's 646-595-2831. Just as an aside, when I first started doing this 15, 16 months ago, I'd have 250 people listening live. Now, that's pretty much in the single digits. And almost all of you listen to this from the archives. So obviously, then you can't call in. But if you have any suggestions, feel free, because I'm always open to them. And we'll share them at another time. So you got to look at life according to you and how you impact other people and how other people impact you. Because your expectations aren't theirs. So it isn't going to work. You have an expectation of them. Even when we have an expectation of our spouse, of our parents, of our siblings, of our children, that always doesn't work, does it? How many of you own your own business and had the expectation when I own my own business, I'm my own boss, and I get to hire the people, and I get to supervise them? Well, we all know, those of us who have had our own business or have our own business know that isn't the way it works at all. We think we're in charge, we're in control. We aren't. So a lot of this is letting go of the way we think life should work. So let go of our expectations. Are you going to be able to let them go all the time? Heck no. But try it. Wake up one day and say, today I'm going to focus on being patient. So every single time something comes in front of me that causes me to become impatient, I'm going to shift my attitude and I'm going to say, okay, how do I have to look at this to be patient? What do I have to believe about this to be patient? What if I just relax? And we'll get into that when I talk about attitudes that will bring us patience and peace. So next obstacle to patience, in my mind, is our judgment. We make a judgment of how this should go. How many of you are familiar with John Panette? He sadly was, he just passed away a couple weeks ago at age 50, a huge comedian, huge being size-wise, and he always talked about his size, and you're standing in line. And somebody gets to the front of the line, and then they look at the menu. You're standing in line at McDonald's, he said. You're at McDonald's, or Kentucky Fried Chicken. What do they have there? They have chicken. How many times have we seen that? I saw that the other day, wherever it was I was, to get lunch. Oh, it was Subway. They're standing in line, waiting, and then when it's their turn, they look at the menu and see, well, let's see, what do I want? So we make judgments. Well, gee, you know, we should prepare ahead of time and be ready when it's our turn. I try to do that because I try to be cognizant of people behind me and that they have time. Another one I love, is when we're in a grocery store and people are standing there waiting. And when the cashier tells them how much they have, then they pull out their wallet. Then they look for their money. Then they look for their credit card. And they've been standing there all that time. So I make judgments about them. Do you make judgments about them? That's our challenge, isn't it? To let go of these judgments. You know, this is the way I would do it. That's what we were just talking about. Life according to me. When I'm in line, I would do this. They don't do that. And it's not going to happen. Now, another part of judgments is criticism. You know, we criticize people for that. So needless to say, when I'm being critical or judgmental of somebody, or if I'm having expectations of somebody, I'm not patient about them, am I? So now I have to drop those expectations. I have to let go of those judgments. I have to let go of those critiques. Because I have to decide if it's more important for me to be patient or, quote unquote, to be right. And when I'm right, then I am the judge. And as the judge, I get to judge, I get to criticize, I get to invoke my expectations, I get to install life according to me. Although I'm not saying a word to this person in front of me, am I? Or we could go even further, let's talk about it, when we're talking about traffic jams. How do we deal with traffic jams? We get upset with traffic jams. Now, these are a whole bunch of people you've never even seen in your whole life and never will see in your whole life, and yet we're impatient with them. Same thing with the ones in long lines. Now, what I do when you're in a traffic jam, and I use this when I do my programs on a cruise ship, I have a great big red nose. So you sit there in a traffic jam or in a line or something like that, take your red nose out of your purse, out of your pocket, whatever it is, put it on. Now waiting in line, whether it's a traffic jam or a line, takes on a whole new meaning, doesn't it? Because now you're watching out of the corner of your eyes to see how are people reacting to me. And imagine they're scooting up in a traffic jam and they're looking and they're pointing and they're saying, look at that fool next to you. Is he crazy or is she crazy or what? But it makes the time go by a whole lot more faster, doesn't it? Excuse the grammar there. It makes the time go by faster. So that's the goal, isn't it? If on one hand we have patience and on the other hand we have peace, we can't have one without the other. So these two are intricate and one pair, peace and patience. How important is it to you in your life to have peace and to be patient? Because being impatient is not going to change a thing. Children, particularly those that are called teenage children, are master electricians. And their job is to wire your buttons. And once they've wired your buttons, their job is to push your buttons. Now, some of you with these teenagers have gone on vacation, and you come home, and they can't push your buttons. For how long? 12 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours? And then boom, your buttons are all wired up again. So we have to have a goal of how important is my serenity? How important is my peace? How important is patience? A lot of people say, well, I don't have enough time to do this or do that or the other thing. You know, I go from one end of the day to the other end of the day, and I just don't have enough time, therefore that's why I'm impatient, because I got too many things to do. No, we don't have too many things to do. What we haven't learned how to do is to differentiate between what's important in life and what's urgent in life. And until such time as you can sit down and identify the five or six or seven most important things in your life, and how much time you spend a week on them, you're then going to be a victim of what's urgent in your life, because what's urgent in your life is that you got to pick somebody up from school, you got to get somebody to track practice or baseball practice or to ballet practice, whatever it happens to be. Then you got to get home and you got to do dinner and everything has to be on a certain schedule. And you allow those urgent things to run your whole life, and they're not even important. So now, as you are the time manager of your life, you need to become a more skilled time manager. And you need to determine what it is that's important to you in your life. And you need to be able to say no to this urgent stuff that really is not a big deal. You just say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You have to place yourself as number one in your life. And those of you who call yourself mom probably have the hardest time doing that, because for many of you, you were taught that your husband comes first, your children come second, and if there's anything left, you get it. I'm here to tell you, no. Stop it. Stop it today. Stop it right now. You got to be number one. Because when you can come, let's just assume that you're my wife, and you can come to our marriage fully charged, that's when you're at your best. That's when you're at your fullest. That's when our relationship flourishes, our love deepens. Then together we can raise these children. And we are partners, and we will define who's responsible for what. Just like in an organization, this is your job description, this is my job description, this is your responsibility, this is my responsibility. How are we going to deal with the children's issues? This is something that we have to do together. So communication becomes a huge part of this. And you got to have enough love of yourself and enough confidence in yourself to say, these are the boundaries. This is what I can do, and this is what I can't do. Again, to quote Terry Cole Whitaker's book, what you think of me is none of my business. Be true to yourself, okay? Be true to yourself. Because you are here to lead your life, not my life. I get to lead my life. I'll accept responsibility for my life, and I'll give you the gift of you living your life without trying to tell you how you should live your life. Because when I'm trying to do that, really what I'm saying is, well, Susie, if that was me, this is what I would be doing in your situation. It's not me. So take care and install yourself as the most important person in your life. Then you come up with your schedule. You manage your time in such a way that the important things are the things that take precedent in your life. And maybe that's having a date with your husband or your wife or your significant other or mom or dad or your children. Take your children out one at a time. You don't have to go anywhere expensive. You can just take them out to the park. You can go for a walk. You can take the dog out, whatever it is. Put it on your calendar. Somebody calls you right now, it's 2:23 here in Los Angeles, and says, we have a 3 o'clock meeting. Boom, it's on your calendar. And if I said, can we meet at 5? And you say, no, I have a meeting scheduled at 5. You don't have to tell them that the meeting is scheduled to take your daughter out for a snack or to Starbucks or whatever. Put it on your calendar. Make it important. We're comparing important versus urgent. And when urgent dictates your life, then you're going to have a lot of problem with impatience. Leave enough time. Figure out how much time it takes to drive from point A to point B. Let's say 30 minutes. So you leave 35 to 40 minutes. You allow yourself the flexibility of it taking longer. And what's the worst case scenario? You get there early and you get there relaxed. How about that? So moving on, the next one I have here is our belief. And one of our beliefs is I have the right to tell people or control other people and what they say or do. We don't have any of that right. All we can do is take care of ourselves, and other people take care of themselves. And that's how that works. Your belief. You have a belief to take care of yourself. Don't let anger do anything to upset your apple cart. Get angry at somebody else. Get angry at a line. Get angry at a traffic jam. Anger is a way, again, of our playing the role of victim. So next one I have is attitude. Oh, man. So we have attitudes, and I'm just going to go through a few of them and see how they work for us. This is the way it should be. Or my personal thing is, well, these are two combined. People are stupid. I see that all day, every day. I don't know how they manage. But that's my point of view, and I'm not trying to be superior. I just look at people and say, well, you know, they don't use common sense. And when I call a company for customer service and go, you know, they don't seem to have a lot of customer service. Somebody at yoga this morning was talking about using frequent flyer miles for American, and the woman she talked to couldn't even pronounce, she was asking who their partners are, and she couldn't even pronounce Alitalia. And so the woman was, you know, obviously upset, because you would think when somebody works for an airline and they have airline partners that they would learn how to say the name of the airline that's one of their partners. Doesn't work, does it? The big thing here is, you know, in terms of attitude, is I don't see consciously set patients as a top priority. So I need to do that. My patients or my peace needs to be my top priority. Now, here's another attitude that screws us up, and we get caught into this, and that is that it's more important to be right than it is to be happy. So when we have to be right, it's not going to work. It just doesn't work. The world is too big. The world is moving in too many different directions. And if I got to be right, then that's an aspect of rigidity. But what I want to be able to do is to be flexible. So I get to choose between being flexible, which gives me patience and peace, or being rigid or being right, which, you know, and then I get to invoke my expectations, my judgments, my criticisms, my own personal book of life according to me. I get to be angry. I get to be upset. I get to be frustrated. But how does that serve me? How does that give me any patience? How does that give me any peace? Another problem we have here is that my time management skills need improving. So I got to manage my time. I don't just let things go by. I can spend 15 minutes here. If you're a supervisor, you can say to somebody, they come into your office and you say, well, you know, right now I can't see you, George. I'm involved in this project, but I could set aside 10 minutes at 4 o'clock. Now what happens? George comes in at 4 o'clock, and you let George know, I will give you my full attention for 10 minutes. Now George is responsible for setting and prioritizing the time. So we don't have enough time to get anywhere. And there are certain people who do that. So next problem we have is that we have a feeling like we're a victim of another person or another situation. We're never a victim. We're in control of our whole life. We need to decide what it is that's important to us. I'm not a victim. I haven't been choosing well. I haven't been choosing patience as important. I haven't been choosing peace as important. I haven't been choosing flexibility as being important in my life. Your choice. So to summarize it, and I mentioned it earlier, very simply, as Dr. Phil says, how is that working for you? And that's our choice. So we're just about at the halfway mark, and what I'm going to do before I get into the attitudes that are going to bring us patience and peace is just play a little piece of classical music for a minute and 36 seconds. Rachel called me on it one time because I said it was a minute and a half. Here we go. See you in a minute and a half and 6 seconds. Okay, we're back, and we've gone through the obstacles that prevent us from being patient. So now let's look at what kinds of attitudes that we need to engender that'll bring us patience and peace. I mentioned a little bit earlier that, to me, the first one is we got to say, there's another way to look at this all the time. How else can I look at this? Because the way I'm looking at it is frustrating me. The way I'm looking at it is causing me to be impatient, to be upset, to be unhappy. And that's not what I want. So I can't allow that to suck me in and react and become a victim, because what I'm trying to do here is take control of my life. And there's going to be all these other circumstances surrounding my life that are going to be like whirling dervishes and that can create chaos in my life if and only if I choose to allow it to. Or I can just sit back and look at it and just watch it and not be affected by it. In a tornado, they say the calmest place is in the eye of the storm, which is in the center. So you can have all this chaos going around at you at work, around you at work, around you at home, and not get involved in it. But you have to find a way of looking at it that will allow you to see it that way. It's your choice. All of these things that we talk about are always simple. They're simple principles. I don't believe in the word secret. None of that is true, in my opinion. Even though these things are simple, that doesn't make them easy, because we have developed a lifetime of habits unconsciously that aren't working for us. And what we're really talking about here is moving from being asleep or being unconscious to being awake and being aware and seeing all these things that are affecting my life, whether it's something somebody says, something somebody does, the traffic, the weather, you know, bills that come unexpected, customer service, poor customer service, not getting what you want, people being totally obtuse in life. Okay, those things aren't going to change. What can change is the way you choose to react to them. But in order for that to happen, you have to find another way to look at it. Because, point blank, the way you're looking at it isn't working for you. Doesn't make you wrong. You just say, hey, it's not working. I wasn't aware of that. I wasn't paying attention. I just got sucked into being impatient. I got sucked into tooting my horn. I got sucked into one of my kids saying or doing this or whatever happens. Second thing I have here, try this out. I need to send love to this person. Now what happens? When I'm impatient, it's my ego that's creating this chaos, isn't it? And my ego is creating the chaos and saying, oh, look at that. This is ridiculous. The person waits in line that whole time and then looks at the menu, then gets out her wallet. Then, lights turn green and we're the left turn arrow and I'm four cars back and a person takes forever before they go, yada, yada, yada. What if we send that person love? An example that comes to my mind because I went to my optometrist yesterday was one time I went to an ophthalmologist at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a December day. I did not know he was going to dilate my pupils. So when I got out, it was pitch dark, and it was so bright, I had to put sunglasses on. And when I got close enough to see taillights in front of me, I had to back off. My point is that, number one, I should have taken a cab home. Number two, for the first time in my life, I realized we got to cut people slack. We don't know what's going on in their car. What if they just got out of a doctor's office and they got told they got cancer? One of my wife's bosses lost his 5-year-old daughter a year and a half ago. What if that just happened? We go on and on and on about all the things that can happen that we don't know that they're happening in that person's life. So when you send love to this person, what it's going to do, it's going to shift from your ego being in charge of this creating chaos or this whirling dervish. It's going to shift you out of your ego and it's going to shift you into your heart. And when you move from your ego into your heart or into your higher self or your inner self, then the way you feel is totally going to change. Because now I'm sending that person love. I hope she gets home and is able to take care of her baby. Or maybe that she was up all night with a sick baby. And I can go on and on about circumstances that maybe most all of us have had in our life and that we needed somebody to be patient with us. So how do we become more patient? By giving that patience to somebody else. Be patient with someone because you don't know what's going on in his or her life. Next thing I have is to take several deep cleansing breaths and see yourself actually telling these feelings that they're creating impatience. So you take your deep breaths. What do we tell our kids when they're having temper tantrums, when they're 2 or 3 years old? Count to 10. Well, what does count to 10 mean? Count to 10 gives me the chance to think before we react. Or take a deep breath. What does take a deep breath? Taking a deep breath calms us. Because when we're upset, we hyperventilate. Well, those short breaths aren't going to bring peace, ever, are they? We take a nice deep breath and we let it out and we accept in the serenity prayer that we have the courage to change the things I can. But the last line is the wisdom to know the difference. I can't change this traffic jam. I can't change the way the person in front of me is in line, but I can interact with him or her. I can make something funny. I can try to make their day, can't I? And instead of being impatient, I can engage them in a loving way. The other day when I was at Starbucks, this mom had her, I think it was 2 daughters, and I said to her, those are really tall shoes. She looked at me, she paused, and she said, they make me feel powerful. I'd never heard that phrase in my life before. But I thought, wow. So now here's a lady, assuming her power. Had I not said anything, I never would have known that. So interact with people. Instead of being upset with whatever's going on, go back and say, hey, let's interact. Make something funny. Do you ever stand in line and try and make a story up about the person in front of you and the groceries they have? If they have, a 6-pack of beer, a bottle of wine, and toilet paper or something like that. Whatever. You play it. The next one I have is, this too shall pass. Okay, no matter what we're talking about, you can say, hey, this is going to pass. It'll be over. And like, if I'm, we saw, Jeff loved the movie, The Grand Budapest Hotel. And rarely do Rosemary and I agree on anything, but neither one of us cared for the movie. Well, I'm sitting through the movie, and what I should have done, because I know this from going to movies, that you can get up and leave and either ask for your money back, or right down the hall, Draft Day with Kevin Costner was playing, would have enjoyed that much more than this movie. So what I do is I visualize myself home, either relaxed on the couch or home in bed if, you know, if it's going to, pardon me, be late. But you got to say, this too shall pass. And for years, I've had that on my computer in as big a font as I can to go across the page on one line, and I just tape it on my computer. This too shall pass. And if we can say that about everything that takes away our peace, that takes away our serenity, that takes away our impatience, then we can reconnect with it because we know it's going to pass and we can let it pass. And how often do we come to a stop sign and we let somebody else go? That's the same thing. Think of that car going through the stop sign as being impatient. I'll let it go. Off to the next one. Now, the next one I have is a question. How would you like to respond to this person? Because again, in the urgency of life, when we're allowing the urgent things to run our life, those things are causing us to get sucked into that energy. And we all know that that's all life is. It's energy vibrating at different rates. And that kind of energy is a frenetic energy. And we got to say, whoa, take my deep breath and say, well, how would I like to respond to it? Do you ever watch people where they're zigzagging in and out of traffic to get in front of you, and there they are next to you, or one car in front of you at the next light? And when I see that, I take my foot off of the gas because I don't want to be close to them in case they cause an accident. They may not be the one that actually gets in the accident, but they could cause it. How would you like to respond to this person? Your choice. Now, the last one I have here is compassion for yourself and for the person who you believe is purposefully trying your patience. So that goes back, I think, into what we were saying a little bit ago about how do I want to respond to this? How important is your inner peace in your life? When your inner peace is the most important component of your life, you're going to be able to be a totally different person because you're going to come from that place of peace, because that place of peace engenders love. And what are we looking to do? Through this program, it's my belief that the title of the program is What Life Is About, Heart-Centered Loving. We have to learn how to love ourselves. We have to learn how to come from our heart. We have to learn to be true to ourselves, to be true to our heart. We have to learn how to give that love to other people, freely to give that love. So when that becomes the center of our life and the focus of our life, and peace is a key component of it, and we can't have peace without having patience. We can't be patient and not have peace. The two come together, and if we want to form a triangle, we say that triangle, or that trinity, will be heart-centered loving, patience, and peace. So when you can come from your heart and give that person love, because nobody ever in all the history of human creation has ever died from an overdose of love. So being more loving to yourself, being more loving to the people who are around you, regardless of how they respond to it, Forget about that. You're not being loving because you want to get it back in kind. That's our challenge, is to be loving because that's who you are. Now, there's a line of zero callers here, so we can't do that. Let me check the chat room here real quick. And we have one person in the chat room, but she can't do anything because she or he is signed in just as a guest. When you come in the chat room and you want to talk, you got to sign in with your name. So I see it here as 2:45, and I have gotten everything, communicated to you everything I want you to know about patience and peace. And I've got a closing story, but I'm going to jump ahead for a second before I go to the closing story, because the closing story is a few more funny stories about patience. Wheelie Saturday for a cruise, and we'll be gone, going from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and we're going to go across the Atlantic Ocean. We're going to end up in St. Petersburg, Russia. We're going to have breakfast Sunday morning with Emily, who used to be the lady who booked me to speak on Princess Cruises. And then we'll go to Paris, and we'll meet Patty and her son Matea. And we're going to go to Southampton, and we're going to go to Stonehenge in Salisbury. And then Alan and Helga are going to come from London, and we're going to have tea, high tea, in a British hotel. And then we go on to the Tulip Festival in Kerkhof, in the Netherlands. And I just love flowers. That's 7 million tulips, hyacinths, and a third flower, which I can never remember. Anyway, we end up in St. Petersburg, Russia, and we'll go to the Marinsky Theater and see the Kirov Ballet dancing Midsummer Night's Dream. And I've told you before when I go to Starbucks for coffee, and there's a ballet theater down about four doors, and Mom comes in with their little daughters with their tutus on. It's just adorable. Anyway, my point is, I got distracted. Today is the 22nd. So 2 weeks from today, which is the 6th of May, I'm going to rerun the show, which has been the most popular show that I've done, on the joys and sorrows of being a mom. So this Tuesday, the 6th, we're going to do that. And Mother's Day is Sunday, May 11th. So I want to say to all of you who are moms, and just quickly before I say that when Rosemary was in the hospital in December, I learned a little bit of what you're about as a mom, because anybody didn't take care of my Rosemary the way I wanted them to, and I'll tear them limb from limb. So I understand what it's like to be a mom a little bit. And what I want to say to you is there is no one else in the world like Mom. Now, all of you haven't had a loving, caring mom. But to those of you who are moms, I want to say, on behalf of us children, thank you, because the world is amazingly good because we have you in it. There's a lot of, excuse me, I'll use the word shit that goes on in the world, but that's the media trying to tell us we got to be afraid of each other. But the center of love in this universe, in my mind, comes from Mom. And Mom, you're an amazing person. The role you play is awesome. As your child, I want to say thank you. And I also want to release you from the worry of how things happen in my life. My life is between me and God. Thank you for everything you did. But God and I have orchestrated all the challenges that I'm going to go through in my life. And I appreciate your love, and I appreciate you being there to pick me up when I fall down. And I want to thank you for the absolutely amazing job that you've done as Mom. So May 6th, tune into that again. Patty Allen was the guest I had on that. And I hope you'll enjoy that. And then on May 20th, which is 2 weeks after that, I'm going to rerun the show on what love is and what love isn't. And that's the second most listened to show. So those are going to be the shows that I'll have on here while I'm gone. And then my plan is, I don't think I'll be able to get to a show by May 27th because we get back to 22nd. But I'll try. If not, then we'll do a show on June 3rd. So that's the plan. Of course, we never know how plans work. So let's get to the closing. Actually, it's not a story, because usually I do a story, but this is another series of short ones about patience. The first one, recently, I went to McDonald's, and I saw on the menu that you could order 6, 9, or 12 Chicken McNuggets. So, I asked for half a dozen McNuggets. Teenager at the counter says, "We don't have half dozen nuggets." "You don't?" I said. "Nope. We only have 6, 9, or 12," was the reply. So I said, "You mean I can't order a half a dozen nuggets, but I can't order 6? "That's right." So I shook my head and ordered 6 McNuggets. Second story. I was checking out at the local Walmart with just a few items, and the lady behind me put her things on the belt close to mine. So I picked up one of those dividers that they keep by the cash register and placed it between our things so they wouldn't get mixed. After the girl scanned all my items, she picked up the divider, looking all over it for a barcode so she could scan it. Not finding the barcode, she said to me, "Do you know how much this is?" I said to her, "I've changed my mind. I don't think I'll buy that today." She said, "Okay." And I paid her for the things, and I left. She had no clue what just happened. And the last one. A woman at work was seen putting a credit card into her floppy drive and pulling it out very quickly. When I inquired what she was doing, she said she was shopping on the internet, and they kept asking her for a credit card number, so she was using the ATM thingy. Patience is elusive, or are we going to be able to grasp onto it? Any suggestions you have for me, you can send to at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. Now to the closing quote. Patience gives your spouse permission to be human. It understands that everyone fails. When a mistake is made, it chooses to give them more time that they deserve to correct it. It gives you the ability to hold on during the rough times in your relationship rather than bailing out under the pressure. And that's a quote from Stephen Kendrick, who wrote The Love Dare. As always, I leave you with the question, what was the most important thing you got out of today's show? What are you going to do? One thing that you can do that will make you more patient. I won't be with you for a while. I can't wait to get on this cruise and have a great time. Pardon me. Helga, thank you for arranging the high tea at the hotel in Southampton. And Patty, we'll have a great time in Paris together. And Emily, I don't think you listen to this, but look forward to breakfast on Sunday. And to the rest of you, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to the show and hopefully sharing it with your friends and making your life better. Because as your life is better, the world is a better place because you are here. I want to thank you and send love from my heart to your heart. And I ask you to receive this love and to share it, because we know there's an infinite supply of love. Thank you. I love you. Bye-bye till next time.